Jetta Cameron, John Rich, you know, it is ironic that we have a topic today about this cheating in baseball and checking pitchers and Joe Girardi last night and the Nationals and all this that is centered around a pitcher whose name in the 4.5 years we've had this show, I consistently cannot properly pronounce, even when I try.
Yeah, even after hearing us tell you how to say it. Like, again, I'm not kidding.
That?
It was one of my first thoughts coming into work today was Joe's going to have to say Max Scherzer 100 times, and it's going to be great.
I just don't understand why you can't say it.
It just
you can say sure.
Sure.
You can say zer.
Zer.
So why can't you say them together?
Sure, zer.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it there. It's just when I start, like, let me read the Twitter poll question of the day, and we'll see if I can effectively do it when I got to say some other words first, and then I'll try to come back around to it. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park. Make a day of it at Delaware Park. Enjoy daily fee golf, lunch, and sports wagering. DelawarePark.com for details. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. Must be 21 to play. Here we go. Can I say it right? Do you support Joe Girardi requesting that Max Scherzer be checked for substances in last night's game? A yes,
hallelujah.
B no. See, when I slow it down,
we know.
When I slow it down, I can do it. When I say
that's how you got hallelujah, right,
I'm
slowing it down.
I'm going to try to read it fast.
Please.
I won't do the slowdown method, and let's see if I can do it. Do you support Joe Girardi requesting that Max Scherzer be checked for substances in last night's game?
It was better. It wasn't great, but it was heading in a good direction.
I am trying. I want to be honest.
I appreciate that because we know that in the past you have just not tried.
Correct. Yes. I will probably call him Max at a lot of twists and turns today just because it is a little easier. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Then I really got to get something off my chest on the Sixers. Dwight in Limerick. Dwight, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, John. How are you?
Hi, Dwight. Doing well.
Joe, do you think the fans would have a different reaction if Girardi didn't go after Scherzer? Do you think they would still go after him?
I don't know. I mean, I have even more support for Girardi given that he stood up.
I do too.
So I don't know. It's hard for me to answer that question. Go ahead. What do you think?
I think him standing up against Scherzer was great, but do you think them going after Wheeler set him off?
Look, I don't know, man. I think the fact that the Phillies were struggling to hit, I think the fact that Girardi – I don't want to say the fact. I'll say that Girardi probably believes that Max had cheated before. I think the fact that he had almost just hit Alec Boehm – you know, and that it's an important National League game, and you actually do have a chance, and I know a caller earlier poo-pooed this, but I'll just throw it out there. You actually do have a chance, if the pitcher is found to have the substance on him, to get the Nationals' best pitcher suspended for 10 games. I think the combination of all that, Girardi said, let's give it a shot.
Okay. Now, do you think if he gets caught cheating in the future, should we discredit his success in the past?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, to what extent, Dwight, that impacts the Hall of Fame, I can't answer that yet. I'd have to know to what extent he cheated.
I mean, again, though, what about the fact that every pitcher is cheating? It's an even playing field from that perspective.
Listen, well,
like, they're all cheating.
So
and
I don't...
How do you say, all right, well, this guy got caught, so he's the one I'm going to say...
James, I agree with
what
you.
What he did is meaningless.
Dwight, it's very complicated, and I'm just... To me, this is too new for me to be able to answer Hall of Fame questions 15 years down the road. I'm not sure yet. I will just say I find it to be the kind of thing that we're going to have to factor in. I mean, what, like, there is, as James has pointed out, Dwight, there is a difference between a lesser substance that helps a pitcher grip a ball and this spider tack thing that dramatically helps a pitcher grip a ball. And if we were to find out that he was using spider tack for years and years, and 90% of other pitchers were using the lesser substance, do I think that would downgrade Max's historical greatness in my mind and cause me to consider not voting for him if I were a voter for the Hall of Fame? Sure. I would have to consider that. Yes.
Well, that was my question. Not per se like the MLB standards of discrediting his success. I mean on a fan base.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Okay. Why not consider it? Dwight, give me a bad sequel.
Caddyshack 2.
Caddyshack 2, really good answer, man. Really good answer. All right, so let me get to something on the Sixers. And I know you guys covered a lot of Sixers yesterday when I was out. I listened to the Maury press conference, obviously, and, you know, there's a lot of different things to it. And you know, he did a really nice job of sidestepping a lot of Ben Simmons kind of stuff, which is kind of aggravating because you kind of want to hear the organization nailed to the wall on the Ben thing. But I'm even going to push that aside for a second. There's something else that really stood out to me, and I'm curious, John, if you agree with this, and James, if you agree with this. And you might say, well, this is inevitable, and Doc and Daryl did their jobs wrapping up the season the way they did. But what I felt was missing from Doc Rivers postseason, and from Daryl Morey postseason in these press gatherings was the pain that we as 76ers feel with the exit of this team this year.
You know what? I disagree on the Daryl Morey front.
Okay.
Because he brought that up repeatedly in his press conference.
Early on, but I thought he just pivoted up.
Like,
but
he's still in shock.
Yep.
He's still just blown away that this team's no longer playing. At least he was bringing that up. But I agree with you on the
okay.
Doc thing.
Yeah. He referenced it. I mean,
that was absent with Doc.
Yeah. I mean, see, here's the thing. And this is where, you know, the organization, 76ers, I think they've got to try to thread the needle with two experienced NBA, a coach and an executive that just recently got here. This was the first year for both of them. But for us, for the fan base, this is our eighth year of the 76ers process. Meaning there was 3 years they definitively, intentionally lost on purpose. And we, as a fan base, languished in that time, knowing, even if you believed in the hope of it, knowing, hey, my team has no chance, because they had no chance. You're going to win 19 games, you're going to win 18 games, you're going to win 10 games. Then there was a fourth season where they initially tried to win. They weren't winning at too effective a clip. This is Embiid's first year. They try to win. Then Embiid gives us a flourish. We had that amazing January where it's like, wow, looks like the Sixers might be about to turn the corner. Then Embiid gets hurt again. Then the Sixers are like, all right, let's pack it up. That's it for the year. We're shelving Embiid. He only plays, what is it, 28 games or something in that rookie
31
year?
31 games.
31 games. And so it's like, all right, wrap it up. So they actually finish with a bad record again out of the playoffs. They jump into the three spot in the ping pong balls. Then they make the trade for the number one spot. So it's not an official tank year. It's like sort of like a half tank. Then the next year, they try to start winning. That was 4 years ago. 4-3-2, and the one that just ended 1. Because they've lost in the playoffs now 4 times. So for me, and I think for millions of us, this is an 8-year journey. And the pain of seeing the 76ers lose the other day isn't just, oh, it's a random, regular postseason, and you know they happen to lose as a higher seed. No. It's that we have been put through the ringer with this franchise basically telling us to trust them, to buy in. What was the old slogan, James, like 6 years ago? Together we build or something?
Together we build.
Together we build. So it's like, all right, I'm willing to wait and be a builder, so to speak, but I need a payoff. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't feel from Doc and Daryl, and I agree with you, John, Doc was worse than Daryl. Because Doc said this. Let's listen to what Doc said after the season. I found this borderline reprehensible that this was said from the 76ers coach after the season ended. Listen to what Doc said when the season ended.
This team last year got swept in the first round. We had a chance to go to the Eastern Finals. I'm not going to make this into a negative year.
I mean, I'm not going to make this into a negative year. Like, Doc, what in the frick do you think it was?
You damn sure should make
what
this
in the
a
hell?
Negative year. This
so I just,
awful.
I just feel like we got two new guys, Doc and Daryl. Ironic, Doc Gooden and Daryl Gooden in baseball all those years, Doc and Daryl in baseball in New York. We have Doc and Daryl in Philly, and I just didn't feel that they met, and maybe it's an impossibility, but at least try to fake it or something. The pain that we feel that this team lost in this fashion at this juncture 8 years in. James, you agree or disagree?
I totally agree. Did you see the quote that Derek Bodner put out from Doc Rivers on June 5th? Because juxtapose it with that, what you just heard. Doc Rivers said this on June 5th, so 2 weeks before he said this.
Okay.
Yeah. He said, if your goal is to get out of the second round, how low are your goals? If that happened and that's all you get, that's not successful for me. Doc Rivers said that two weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah, so to me it feels like a real disconnect because you want the leaders of the organization, and we know Embiid is out of his mind. We know it. Ben Simmons, maybe not, okay? But we know Embiid's out of his mind. But I need the 76ers coach and general manager. I mean, I'll use a Bill Clinton phrase from the 1992 election. I feel your pain. I don't think Doc and Daryl feel our pain. And I think it creates a disconnect that, for me, I don't like. Just don't like it. Let's go to the phones. Doesn't mean I don't want Daryl Morey to be here, but I didn't think he met the moment, and Doc Rivers certainly did not. Let's go to, and you can react to that, 215-592-9494. If you agree that there's a disconnect with the way they present themselves and how we feel. For them, it's year one. For us, it's year eight. And by the way, I say year eight, but it's really more than year eight. It's year eight of this process. I mean, they've only been in the conference finals one time in the last 38 years, or last 36 years.
I tell you.
So there's that factor, too. There's, like, my whole life factor. This was a real chance, and they freaking blew it.
Joe, I mean,
that's huge for
me.
I can't emphasize that enough. Go ahead, John.
I'm especially dismayed with Doc because of the reversal. Defending Ben all along, and then finally it sounded like after the final loss,
yeah.
It sounded like when he said he wasn't sure if Ben could be the point guard of a championship team, that he was going to, I don't know, set the record straight and just speak from the heart,
yep.
Speak truthfully.
Yep.
And then he reversed out of that again. And so that is problematic.
Totally.
To me. This was an opportunity for Doc after this loss to set an ultra-high standard that, you know, I hope that they aspire to.
I'm with you, man.
And it doesn't feel like he did that. Instead, it feels like he went back to sugarcoating mode,
yep.
And coddling mode, and let's make this as easy for the guys as possible because, really, they have all the say here,
totally.
And I don't. So I just have to give in to their wishes.
I'll sum it up this way on Doc Rivers, and we'll go right to the phones. I felt it was bad internal leadership by him,
yeah.
And bad external leadership, meaning bad within his team,
yeah.
not holding Ben accountable, and then, as you said, John, reversing again back to not holding him accountable enough. And then the external, I just don't think, the main job for these coaches is to manage and coach the players and to lead the teams. But there is a public face of a franchise thing. And I thought Doc Rivers really failed at the end of this season, meeting the way we feel,
yes,
as Philadelphia sports
fans. But again, we have to bear in mind that there are ulterior motives at play here. Doc has to say the right thing because the bottom line, I believe everyone in that building wants to get Ben gone. So that trade looming does affect how much he can say.
You're right about that. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. If you want to comment on that in addition to the Phils, please do so. Sean in Northeast Philly. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing, man?
Doing well, Sean.
Listen to you guys every day. I love it.
Thank you.
Doing what you're doing.
Thanks, pal.
Couple questions, just a couple points. Hopefully I can get them all through. Real quick with you, Joe. I'm just wondering – You claim to be a baseball guy, right? Like your whole life, baseball. Like,
well, I love all these sports. Sure,
fantasy camp, all
sure.
That.
Yeah.
How are you so naive to the pitcher stuff? Like it's been going on since the beginning of the time. Like I don't understand. Like,
well, there's
you know what I mean?
There's two different things I didn't understand, and I think a lot of people didn't. But I'll just speak from my own standpoint. I did not understand until recently because you always hear about the Negroes and the guys in the past, the spitballs and all. I didn't realize
right.
That it was so widespread that pitchers in modern times would use anything to help create grip. I didn't know that, honestly. And the second thing is I certainly had no idea that the technology had advanced to the extent that it had, that the utilization of it could so dramatically increase the pitcher's chances just comparative to 2 or 3 or 4 years ago because they're now dominating the hitters. I didn't know that.
Right, right. Now, I'm just saying totally, like, forget about the spider tack stuff. Forget about that. Like, sweat, a human sweat and rosin, to my knowledge, that's legal, right? Human sweat and rosin is legal.
Right, yeah. But Sean, the question, I mean, one of the things, and I said to James and John before the show that I admittedly don't know the answer to, if a pitcher puts on, like a lot of us do, just puts on hair gel.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
I'm not saying it's illegal to put on hair gel. What I'm asking, and I don't know the answer, is it illegal for the pitcher on the mound to remove his hat and intentionally rub his hands through his hair for the purpose of picking up hair gel and then pitching the ball? Is that considered an illegal substance at that point? I would think it is, but I admittedly am not sure the answer to that.
Right. Real quick, one more. It sucks that this whole thing is like overshadowing the real issue is the Phillies
that they lost. I know.
And how bad they're doing, and like they can't hit, and like, you know who I'm real quick. I'm sick of, and I know Richie. I think you like him, and you think like Alec Boehm. He drives me crazy with his like baby act at the plate. He's just like a little baby. I feel like last night that pitch wasn't that close to him. I mean, I know it's coming at him and all, but like he acted like it was like he was headhunting. Like the whole thing. Like I hope he gets out of what he's going through, but like that kid drives me crazy, man.
All right, Sean, I
am very frustrated with Alec Boehm too.
Yeah. Yep.
And okay, cool. I'm not a huge Boehm fan. I can't understand how he's dropped off the face of the earth the way he has this year. Now he had a big hit last night in the ninth. And, that's great. Hopefully he gets back on track. But that's something that not I don't think anyone has brought up. Like, he does sort of overdo things.
It's like you're a professional athlete. You shouldn't be acting like that anymore, man.
It does feel a little immature at times.
All right, Sean, give me a bad sequel.
I love 1 and 2, Eddie Murphy. Beverly Hills Cop 3. I thought it was horrible.
Great answer.
All right, Sean.
Great answer. Real quick to his point, too, about not talking about, them losing and all that. My bigger issue with the forgetting how I feel about what Girardi did, the fact that after Girardi does it, stands up to Scherzer, comes out of the dugout, gets tossed, like, no life from the team after? No hits until the eighth inning?
Totally agree.
Really? That's the biggest issue with this team yesterday is Girardi does that and there is zero life.
Well, I agree with that, and there was also no one, and I forget who pointed it out, whether it was Crucker or Ricky Bo postgame, or maybe even Michael B postgame, that no one had Girardi's back. Yeah.
That too, no one came out.
No one.
It was shocking.
Yeah, I mean, eventually you get the assistant coach guy, Rob Thompson,
has to come out and get him. Yeah,
but I'm with you, man. I agree. Let's go to Carl right now.
Heart.
Yeah, it's bad, Carl. And Carl, you're on WIP.
Hey guys.
Hi, Carl.
You know, I'd like to get to the second major problem that I have with the Sixers.
Okay.
And Joel Embiid, I love the guy, but he shoots fadeaways, turnaround, 17-footers.
He's pretty good at him, Carl.
Yeah, but when he has set shots where he could take a jump shot, he doesn't want to put the stamina into just fading away.
I don't know if that's what it is, Carl. I've struggled with this. On the one hand, you want your center to go up strong, and that sort of thing, but that shot is unblockable.
Yeah,
I mean, he is 7'2", and when he's fading away while being that accurate and that gigantic, and he's making, it feels like, I don't know, 85% of them when he's on. Like, it, I think it's a good shot.
Yeah, I mean, Carl, I'll put it this way, because I'm with John. I also struggle with the balance of inside and outside of Joel, and some of that's Ben related. But remember this, man. He developed, I would say this year, because I don't remember seeing it before this year, sort of like a Dirk 1 foot step back. And let's also remember guys like Michael Jordan, Larry Bird. I mean, these are players that developed post moves with fadeaways that make it easier on their body as their career ages to get some easy points with a simple fadeaway that they perfected. So I don't think it should be, let's knock Joel. If you want to say, hey, a little bit of a higher percentage, get in the paint and bully your way to the rim, I'll buy that. But I think the fact that he can so effectively fade away and make it is a tremendous credit to him, and hopefully can actually help him, elongate his career.
Because,
okay, I mean, remember, that was Jordan's main game, 96 through 98. Jordan became, he wasn't Air Jordan 96 to 98. He could still do some of that. But Jordan became, hey, get me the ball in the post. I'm going to get 6 or 7 hoops a game with a guy on my hip. I just rise up, fade out, bang, boom. Basket.
Okay, but I would rather see him do that from 17-foot turnaround fades to 7-foot turnaround fades.
Okay, so when he's closer, you want him to go all the way in there. All right, Carl. We all know the MB game's not perfect, but he took tremendous steps forward this year. Now, if you want to make the case, and certainly I've had people make this case to me, that, hey, listen, when push came to shove, it was another postseason when Joel could not answer the bell for 2 months. That he got hurt again.
That is a problem.
Like, you can make that case. Because
he addressed that, too. I mean, in one of the recent postgame pressers, it was, you know, it's frustrating. I don't even know what to make of this. It's like something always goes wrong when you least expect it in the postseason. And that's true.
It is true. I mean, to this point, it's 100% true. 215-592-9494. Coming up, a statement I want to make about the Phillies. Totally unrelated to anything we've discussed today. What it is, I'll tell you next. And everything we've discussed. Girardi, the Nationals being idiots. A lot of people actually thinking Girardi's out of line, which I don't get. And Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey, are they out of touch with how we feel as Philadelphia sports fans? It's all on the table. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, plus a day game today. Phillies and the Nationals, another game right back at it at 1 today, right here on 94 WIP.